Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us for this very special edition of Cross Connection Acts, where we're having a Christmas show.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And just as we had meal when we had our Thanksgiving special, we are having meal again.
So nice, we did it twice.
Absolutely, a full course.
So let's, when we talk about usually Christmas or the birth of Jesus narrative, what we do, we talk about unity. So let's talk about unity, or maybe we don't.
Do we talk about that?
No, this is good, because what do we usually talk about when we talk about the birth of Jesus narrative? When this time of year, what do we usually do?
Well,
giving,
receiving
kindness, being more accepting, welcoming of people, all of that theme, I think it's important.
Yeah. So let's take a different look at this narrative today.
All right.
So let's begin with one of the prayers of Jesus that is recorded in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 22. And before we do it, let's pray. And Sergio, could you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather together as friends and family, to remember your son. And we just ask that you be with us now, that you guide us, that your spirit be with us, that we can learn about you and see you a little bit more clearly today.
Amen.
We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so John chapter 17, verses 20 through 22.
So we have a Christmas show going to the end of Jesus' life, not the beginning.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what happens afterwards.
Okay. All right.
Let's read John chapter 17, verses 20 through 22. And Claudia, could you read it? Yes, please.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one.
Okay, so do you see how Christmassy this is? Because look what happens. Jesus says that you sent me.
Yes.
When was Jesus sent? When he was born.
Right.
Yeah.
When he was born.
And this is that time of year where we remember that amazing gift. That Jesus. But the gift was not fulfilled in the baby. It was when it started. And here we see right before the end of his life, Jesus praying for let's pray that the reason you sent me may be fulfilled.
Amen. So what we do see, that Jesus is the one who unites.
Yeah,
Jesus is the one who doesn't divide, but he actually unites. He unites people of different culture, different backgrounds, different views, different perspectives, who come together just as he did with the disciples.
Yeah.
So there's three elements: birth of Jesus, life of Jesus, and then death of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, of course, his resurrection.
Yes.
So these three elements, which is the birth of Jesus, he united people.
Yeah.
And how? Let's take a look at this.
How beautiful, though, is it that God had to divide so that we would be united? You know, that God had to divide, break himself apart from his son and send him to us tore himself apart so that we may be united.
Yeah. That's powerful.
And look what happens when the birth of Jesus.
Sure.
First we see in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, we see how the shepherds come adore Jesus.
To adore,
yes?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the Gospel of Matthew, who do we see?
We see the wise men, the Magi,
who were rich. So do you see how Jesus is breaking, from the very beginning, the birth of Jesus breaking all barriers?
And it was mentioned before in several other cross connections also, is that to be a shepherd in those days, he was like a really low profession,
Exactly.
You're not appreciated if you were a shepherd. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like, a lot of them were like thieves sometimes. There's nothing else for you to do. Mm-hmm. So there you go, you become a shepherd. So for them to be the first ones to come to Jesus, and the angels came and told them, think about that. The angels of heaven came and told the shepherds there.
The lowliest
of all were the first ones to hear the message.
Right.
It's setting the stage that Jesus is coming for everyone else.
Yeah.
But just because he's shifting the paradigm of the world, he's coming to those who are poor first, the rejected one. That's a powerful thing.
And I think that's so beautiful to think about the fact that, you know, Christ is coming for the lowliest. He's coming as the lowliest for the lowliest.
That's great.
But then you contrast that with the Magi. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ is not only breaking, socioeconomic barriers, but he's also breaking cultural barriers, right? He's breaking religious barriers.
Exactly.
The Magi are not Jews.
No.
They
no.
are not believing in
from
Judaism.
The
they are from the East. Mm-hmm. They study the stars, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, they... He, he literally is saying, hey, I'm coming to save them that know me and them that don't.
That's powerful.
And that's why throughout his ministry, he was so prominently promoting this. Yeah. Look what he did when he had a meal. Like the Jewish religious leaders, they would say even that, okay, he's just like a drunk and a glutton. But what is he doing? He's breaking those barriers because he's dining with whom? With sinners and tax collectors. Yeah, and
I'm remembering a comment you made, Diego, when we had our Thanksgiving episode a while back, when you said that meals, especially back then, were very intimate. Yes. You know, we wouldn't even sit on chairs. We'd lie down. Yeah. We'd be right up against each other. Mm-hmm. Jesus is doing that with prostitutes and with all kinds of sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus bringing all kinds of people together. And we see it, as you said, not only in the birth story, but throughout his life as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the birth story, we are united in his birth story. His life, the entire life, is the ministry of unification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just before we go, one thing that Sergio mentioned, that God breaking himself apart, it reminded me of a theologian. I forgot what his name is, but he says that Jesus became the Son of Man so the sons of men could become the sons of God.
And
it is so powerful because that's, and if you look in the Gospel of John, the first chapter says that, and we are given the right to be called what? Children of God, but when we behold and contemplate his glory. So it's because we accept Jesus in our hearts, we are part of the family of God.
Yeah.
And then we are one, united in him through his birth, I mean, through his whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we see him working to consistently do that throughout his life, right? I mean, he's going to talk to the Samaritan woman, regardless of the various prejudices that existed between them and the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. He's going and talking to the poor. He's going and talking to the rich man, right? Yeah. And we even see that in Acts when the apostles are saying, hey, we're going to talk to the centurions. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to slave girls. We're going to talk to everybody. Because Christ is a God who unifies.
Yeah. And what is important for us to remember that when Jesus united the world, he had to step down. And because that's why Paul would say, let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was like God, but did not consider it robbery, and he made himself equal with man.
That's so powerful, because I think, you know, sometimes we balk at this idea of unity and being together, because I'd rather sit on the things that make me better than everyone else, you know? I'd rather sit on the things that make me superior to everyone else. And why should I try and be unified with all these other people? I think we need to step down off our high horse sometimes. Just as we saw the example of Jesus lowered himself, as you just mentioned. We also need to step down off our high horse, and it's only then, when we humble ourselves, that we'll be able to experience the spirit of unity as people of God.
Well, just think of the contrast, right? Compared to what Lucifer said in heaven, I want to do this, I want to send myself, I want to I want to be set my throne above the Most High.
Yeah.
Whereas Jesus, in the other way, he's just emptying himself completely from his Godness, I mean, his power and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Takes off his privilege.
So if you have to choose between who is highly selfish and somebody who is highly selfless, whether you're an atheist or not, who are you going to choose to spend the rest of your life
of course,
with?
Yeah.
Obviously,
of course,
who is selfless.
But that is that is why it's so important to remember that unity is not something that I dictate. We will become united only if you follow my rules.
Get in line.
Pax Romana.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly. Pax Romana with the sword.
With the sword.
Then we are forced. No. Yeah. Unity is, I want to learn from you.
Yeah.
And maybe we can
all lower
learn
ourselves.
Together.
Just as, because we serve one who lowered himself.
Exactly. Yeah. We will continue our discussion and we will talk about consumerism. Okay, so we're excited about it and I hope you also are. So see you after this break. Welcome back to Cross Connection. We just talked about how this unity is only possible if both parties, they say, you know what, let this mind that was in Jesus be also among us. When we humble ourselves and are willing to learn from each other. And are willing to listen to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what we see throughout the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about something that is also very important. When we talk about the birth story of Jesus, how wealthy was Jesus when he was born? According to the Gospel of Luke.
He was very, very not. very, very not wealthy.
Extremely well. We have, of course, first of all, he has been born in this place, not his really his town, his family there.
Yeah, in Bethlehem.
Bethlehem. Right. His parents they had to go because of the census. You see, they're giving the little dove.
He was born among the animals.
Yeah,
animals.
We saw about how the amazing that this good news appeared to shepherds who just wandered and actually lived with their animals.
Absolutely.
And then we see in Jesus a man who's born among animals, and we see it here in the manger. There's just a bunch of animals. He's not even born among humans.
And he was born in a cave, not even a proper house.
His crib was a manger.
Exactly.
Think about it, right?
Which is a feeding trough. It's a lovely word for us now. It's just where they would eat their slop, where he's born.
But then in addition to that, so after he was born, then he was taken to the temple. And look what happens in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. We need to read it. It's just another demonstration of how poor Jesus was. Mm-hmm. So, Claudia, could you read verse 22 through 24?
Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, speaking of Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mm-hmm.
So, but Leviticus 12:8, and Sergio, could you go to Leviticus 12:8?
Yes, sir.
Leviticus 12:8 says there's something else that you're supposed to bring according to the law.
Okay.
So let's see what is happening. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8.
Okay. So a little bit before I'll actually start, it says, these are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or girl.
Okay.
And then verse 8. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean.
So she was supposed to bring who? What?
A lamb.
A lamb. Mm-hmm. But if she cannot bring,
can't afford it, too poor to buy one.
Then what she brings?
A turtle dove.
What did they bring?
A turtle dove.
So what do we see?
They're poor.
Yes.
Yeah. They're poor. Yeah.
So and now in the age of consumerism, we usually highlight and we just do something else. So
it's interesting to bring up in this context because we're trying to in this season of the year, what are some of the themes or things we see are happening in the world around us in this time of year? Consumerism is huge. It's all about buying presents for each other and trampling over each other the day after Thanksgiving to get at these nice cheap TVs and everything else.
Yeah.
But I think there's an aspect of it that we can explore that ties to who Jesus was. It goes beyond just consuming stuff. And it's not just anti-having stuff, because we would be hypocrites if we said that. Because I think at least compared to all the citizens of the world, I have more than most people.
Absolutely.
I have more stuff than most people.
Absolutely.
But I think even beyond that, we kind of live in a time where we're defined by the things we consume. And I don't even just mean physical products. But on our Facebook page, when we're going to talk about ourselves, we say, I like this kind of music. I listen to this band. I like to watch these kinds of movies. Everything is about what I consume, and that's where I find my identity.
We define people based on what they consume.
Correct.
Absolutely.
This is an age of consumers. We're all consumers. We just take stuff in.
We treat our relationships as also something that, like stuff.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like stuff. So people
become objects.
Okay.
You know, any relationship, I'm sure there are people watching that they've been used, or they used someone else for a specific time. Maybe they needed a rebound, whatever you want to call it. People were used for a specific purpose. And the moment you no longer serve for their purposes, you're tossed aside.
Well, and we think about it, we maybe even define our friends by those things. Well, this is my friend I play basketball with. Mm-hmm. This is my friend that, I like to go watch comedy with. This is my friend I go watch music with. This is my, by what they give us. Mm-hmm. And just, again, looking at this incredible gift in the form of Jesus, I feel challenged to say, okay, should I start defining my relationships by what I give to my friends? This is my friend who needs this kind of support.
Yes.
This is a friend who's struggling with mental health issues, and so I help them with this. This is a friend who it just was hurt in a relationship, so I offer them support or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. So, but if we talk about cross-connection acts, because we need to jump to the book of Acts to actually see what Paul had to say about it.
Right?
And this is interesting because he was the one who talked about imitating Jesus. He was the one who tried to imitate Jesus in every way. So let's read chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verses 32 through 35. And just to place ourselves into the context, this is one of the last speeches that Paul was giving to the elders, he thought. Because he was on the way to Jerusalem, and he didn't know what
was coming
happen.
Back. Yeah,
exactly.
He didn't know.
Because they were crying after his speech. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem.
He said they would never see him again.
They would never see him because he could have been also killed just like Jesus was.
Yeah. Wow.
So this is his last speech, and look what he talks about. And Claudia, could you read verses 32 through 35?
So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen. So you see, in the midst of his farewell speech, he says it's very important for you to understand.
Yeah.
Because it's not money, not even clothes, apparel, or anything else that defines us. Mm-hmm. But because it's meaningless.
Right.
What is meaningful is the relationship. Yeah. Are you ready to give yourself? Are you ready to support that people, that person in need? Are you ready to live? Are you willing to pick them up?
Right. Mm-hmm.
To raise them up?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, what if everybody actually thought and lived life based on this kind of a giving mentality? So that I live to the point where I'm only thinking about giving to Diego, and I'm only thinking about giving to Sergio, and I only think about giving to Oleg, then that means if they're thinking under the exact same premise, they're always giving to me.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm ever in a position where I'm drained or I'm overwhelmed, because in the exact same moment that I'm pouring, I'm also receiving.
Absolutely. And this is so crucial because it affects government. It affects the way we go about our society. There are people who just don't want to help, contribute to church, to work, anything else, and all they want is just gimme, gimme, gimme. And this mentality crushes any type of society at all. Now, as you said, this mentality of giving, it never runs out, because you give and receive, and it's powerful.
And how much will a society be transformed, even if there is a government in place that is useless and ineffective, that if there are people of God that are deciding, I am going to contribute to my society because I followed someone who commanded me to. Right. I think of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where he says, this is how you'll know people, not by what they take in, not by what things they kind of take in, receive, but by what they give. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Mm-hmm. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Mm-hmm. I feel challenged. Like, wait, I can't define myself by the fact that I like this band or that I like this guy's movies or that I'm into this or I'm into that. I like this kind of food. I like eating here on Thursdays. Like, I have to define myself by what I'm putting out there.
Exactly.
This is a challenge.
And this is the way how the world is being healed.
Yes.
Because the world is being saved.
It's needed.
Right.
Because this is what Jesus, salvation. Salvation, the meaning, salve, to heal. This is how you heal the world. And you heal by individual. One individual, you raise one, you raise second, you raise society, and we all raise society.
All right, well, we got to take a quick break. That's the end of our second meal here, but there's the dessert round coming up. It's the best one, so stick around for that. We'll see you soon on Cross Connection Acts. Welcome back to this special Christmas edition of Cross Connection Acts. And for our dessert course now, we're going to take a look at this idea of the gift, which is something we talk about frequently during this season. But we want to take a little bit of a different spin on it. And what if we look at this notion of the gift through looking things differently with in the last meal we just talked about, but not just receiving, but defining ourselves by the fruit that we produce. And that's exactly the challenge we see in Jesus's life.
Exactly, because he was the ultimate gift that was given to this world in order to heal the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why all the gospel writers, they will talk about it. And then, so let's talk about the greatest gift of all gifts.
Yeah.
Because in what would happen in that society, the greatest gift that you could give to God was usually the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
This was the greatest gift. But this is what they thought. And then Jesus comes in Matthew 12, verse 7. Mm-hmm. Let's read Matthew 12, verse 7. And whoever gets there first, gets to read it.
All right.
Matthew 12:7. What does it say?
Matthew 12:7.
Yes.
But if you hadn't known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless.
So do you see what is happening? So what is the greatest? He doesn't desire sacrifice. He desires this greatest gift of mercy.
I think that's the powerful message here, because I think we do a very good job at this time of year, for those of us who believe in Jesus, of acknowledging and appreciating the gift that he was, that his birth represented as the beginning of. I think we acknowledge that very well. But Jesus is saying here, I don't desire sacrifice because I'm the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so by now what way, I desire from you is mercy. And that's what all of his teachings were about. He taught constantly about forgiveness and love and mercy and justice and compassion. And we ought to honor his sacrifice by being that gift to the world of mercy.
But that's why it's so important. The greatest gift that you can give to God is the gift that you can give to your neighbor.
Absolutely. Mm. And you know, and I just tying up to what you were saying and just bringing back our memory to what we studied almost a month ago during Thanksgiving time. Every time we are reminded, God wants us to be reminded about being thankful and grateful. We have different mentalities that push us consumerism. What happens after Thanksgiving? Immediately on that Friday, you have what?
Black Friday.
Everybody, people that are not thankful anymore, just going rushing out there to buy more stuff. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should not get stuff when it's cheap. I think it's just good
stuff. Get good deals. Take care of your family.
Absolutely. But yet, the real Black Friday happened 2,000 years ago when the Son of God was hanging on the cross. Mm. We forget that Black Friday. Around Christmas time, now we think about the gift. And then companies, very smart, they explore this idea of give your father a gift, give your mother a gift, give your girlfriend. So they put all these commercials about giving somebody a gift. But then we forget, yes, I can buy a gift for my wife. I can buy her whatever, a book, whatever. But if I don't give her mercy in my home, if I don't forgive her, or if I don't come to my wife and say, love, I'm sorry for acting this way. And I think this applies to what you're saying. You can buy the most expensive car, an airplane, an island to your significant other or somebody you supposedly love. But if you don't give them mercy when they need, you don't forgive them, you're really not giving anything.
No, that's
absolutely.
Really,
and that is exactly why Jesus, when he was talking to scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, he would say, what is the most important of the law is justice, mercy and faithfulness. Justice. Do we give the gift of justice to the world? Are we just? Are we really oppress others? Do we, or maybe we are just and present this?
And we can tie this to the book of Acts now, because this time of year we remember this amazing gift of the birth of Jesus, but Acts represents this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. And in John, Jesus says, look, guys, I gotta go, because then you'll receive my spirit. Right. And which is almost even better.
It's for your benefit that I go.
It's for your benefit, exactly. Because then you receive the Spirit. Because sometimes some of the things we're talking about here, it's not easy. It's not easy to be merciful to your enemy.
It's not
easy to forgive someone who wronged you deeply. Mm-hmm. We can only do that when we have the Spirit of God in our heart. And that's what we ought to remember as well. Because we see all of this amazing picture of a community and people that are completely transformed once they receive the Holy Spirit.
And the powerful about this community and the Holy Spirit is that when we think of community, we don't think of just us and them. Look what Martin Luther King said years ago. He says, an attack to justice anywhere is an attack to justice everywhere. How many of us actually think this way? We have so many revolts and demonstrations out in the country. I know we are being wronged, but you guys causes upon us. And we fragment ourselves in different groups and pockets. Mm. But who is out there? Who is the voice of Dr. King that died years ago that says, you know what? Injustice is injustice anywhere, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of what language you speak. It doesn't matter. We have to realize that it's time for us to act justly to everybody else, not just what benefits me, but what should be equal and benefit everybody else. And nothing like Christmas time to really try to bring this up again.
Exactly.
I think we need that.
Yeah. So the greatest gift that we actually can receive and then pass on is the gift that Jesus has already given us, the gift of mercy, the gift of justice, and the gift of faithfulness.
Right.
Because he was faithful to us that he came, he suffered, because he believes in us. And the same to our neighbor.
And I mean, to Diego's earlier point, right? Like, I mean, our material gifts are empty when we don't give mercy, when we don't give justice, when we don't give faith.
They are consumed. Right? They are consumed.
Which honestly, I feel tempted to do. When I look at everything, you mentioned everything that's happening in the world. It's so awful and so prevalent, and I can't even process it, let alone want to engage with it in any way, and I feel like withdrawing into myself because it's all so awful. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, right before he ascended to heaven, in the book of Acts, again to take us to Acts, says, this gospel of the kingdom needs to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth.
Absolutely.
So this is what we should remember in this season as well, that Jesus called us to go out to the ends of the earth to engage this injustice that is in the world head on, and he will give us a spirit to be able to overcome it.
And that's why throughout, we see throughout Gospels, as well as throughout the book of Acts, we see that Jesus Jesus calls his disciples to do the same thing that John the Baptist did. Mm-hmm. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus says the same words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven. And then the disciples repent, for the kingdom of heaven. And they proclaim the gospel. Mm-hmm. But proclamation is not just preaching. Mm-hmm. To proclaim the gospel is to save your neighbor, to heal your neighbor, to raise them up, to raise them from the dead. This is what Paul would do. This is what Peter would do. This is what everybody would do. So do we do it?
I love what you're saying because, you know, I, as a pastor, I meet a lot of people and sometimes we have the misconception that our calling is to preach the gospel. If that was our calling, it would be easy to do through the radio, through TV, or just a little track. There you go. Mm-hmm. The gospel is preached to you. But as I said, it's proclaimed. It's making disciples. And that is a call to grow within community and share with one another. And that's like far more difficult, but yet much more rewarding.
Yeah.
Because by the time Jesus comes and we all saved together, we are saved together. Mm-hmm. You're not in heaven by yourself. You're not in heaven alone.
But it's like, you know, just what Oleg was saying earlier, right? Salvation is about that salve, about that healing, right? And so if Christ came to heal, then that means that my work of proclamation is to heal other people.
Great.
How can I heal you emotionally? How can I heal you physically? How can I heal you socially? How can I heal you financially during this season where we're celebrating the one that came to heal us holistically? Christ didn't just come to save us from our sins. Christ came to save us from our social exclusion.
Absolutely.
He came to save us from sin. He came to save us from our physical death, right? And
ourselves.
So if we're wanting to celebrate this awesome gift that saves, then how can we go out into the world and be the gift that saves today?
Amen. Amen.
This is so beautiful. I was really blessed, and I hope you were too.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, right?
When Jesus came, he came to restore our lives. He came to restore our world. And this is what he calls you to do. He calls you to also help and heal and restore your neighbor's life, the one who is next to you, your spouse's wife. So let's do it this season. Let's make a difference in this world, starting with the people who are next to us. Because just as he loved us, he wants you to love others.